your tears on my pillow that won't dry on the road beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone. Step by step.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good? All right. So why are people in AA bad dancers?
Why?
Because they only know 12 steps.
Good.
Mixed reaction. Okay. All right. That being said, welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Zach. Thank you all for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. We ask that you turn off all devices that make noise and that might or will distract others. We take this time to get reconnected to God and let the craziness of our day drift away. And just to get centered so that we can focus when the speaker starts. So if everyone's seated and ready, let's start the meditation. In the fog light prayer, if you care to join in, you can repeat after me or read it off of the screen. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those that are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Amen. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And in this group, we read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience from the Big Book. And the reason that we read this is because the purpose of the 12 steps is to have a spiritual experience, so we think it's kind of important that we know what one looks like. I've asked Jack to read that for me, so if you'll please come up here to read. Help me welcome him.
My name is Jack. I'm an alcoholic. All right. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring us about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of a sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described, though it was not our intention to create such an impression. Many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing fellowship, or a rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honesty, facing his problems in the light of our experience, can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is bar against all information, which is proof. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all argument, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, before we get rolling into the rest of this meeting, we have Marion presenting a very special medallion to somebody. So help me welcome her.
That's right. Shouldn't be. I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm here tonight to, do that other deal too. But tonight we're celebrating Heather's 5 years. Heather came to me about... Well, she's been kind of like a little bee buzzing around me for a while. And over the last few months, we've been taking a journey through the steps, and it's been just a joy for her to really just come in full circle in the group and just to see the joy and the relationship she's building with God. And it's just so beautiful to be a part of that. So, Heather, come get your 5 years and tell Mom that you did it. Yay!
Heather, recovered alcoholic. If you asked me where I would have been 5 years ago, definitely wouldn't be here. But for the grace of God, he saw fit for me to be here. And through the 12 steps and Alcoholics Anonymous and Stephanie and Joe and a couple other people in the room, I get to stand here today sober and face life with true friends, and I'm so happy to call this my home now and work with Marion and can't wait to see what God has in store. So thank you.
Yeah, I got a little something here. All right, so Marion is our speaker. And all that I got to say right now is please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting. We ask you please set your phones to meeting mode, meeting airplane mode, or just shut them off, even better. There's a great parking lot and other streets and stuff outside if you need to take a phone call. We ask you go there. And this is our third week with Marion. It's been an awesome journey so far. I'm excited to hear what she has to say. So without further ado.
I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I also spend some time on stage and being a singer, so I must have an introduction. That might be a... Is that a little ego? I don't know. You know, Peter, you're a drummer. You understand that. It's good to be here and good to be sober and in my home place, Alcoholics Anonymous, and especially Alcoholics and God, my home group. And it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to be used of God. And my sobriety date is November 11th, 1989. And I have a working knowledge of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 Steps and an amazing sponsor and some wonderful girls I get to sponsor and that help keep me right-sized. And it's just a beautiful journey. And I want to welcome anyone who's new to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I hope you find the love, the fellowship, the recovery that you crave, the life that you crave. And I was telling Peter, I took a nap, and it's so funny, like the journey, what I noticed for me, the journey, when I take a 12-step series, and I'm not like, I haven't been doing tons of them in my life, but what I do know is, I feel like as I take this journey, God takes me on the journey as well. It feels like week to week, there's, you know, just life presents itself and experiences present themselves that fit into whatever the next deal is. It's just when I try to rehearse and when I try to overplan, I'm in a lot of trouble. And it's so funny. The reason I say I felt a little like Jesus is I fell asleep. And it was like, well, the storm's coming and I'm sleeping. And Peter walks in the room and it's 6:15. Oh, my God. And I was asleep. Oh, silly. But, you know, so whatever. To me, I just look at that as God going, you know, I got this thing. I got this thing. And next week I'm going to walk across the Atlantic Ocean to get here, so I'm going to be walking on water next week. No, just kidding. I'm a dork. I think that I think God's a little bit of a has a great sense of humor. So, otherwise he wouldn't have made us. They used to say in the rooms of AA years ago that God loves alcoholics because we're just so fun to watch. And I feel like that, you know, like Peter even comes home. I just look at my life that way. He's like, he walks in the front door all the time. Lucy, I'm home. And I feel like that's kind of my life. And, you know, as I stumble in and through this stuff. And I know that this journey in Alcoholics Anonymous and this journey through the steps and this book that was created to give us a relationship with God is not to be missed, you know. I certainly haven't done things perfectly or on time, and I've stumbled through them. And what I do know is that God's love is kind of messy, and it's kind of beautiful, and that I can't do anything to make him love me more. And I can't do anything to make him love me less. And I know that that's true for all of us. I had an old timer that'd sit across the table from me, and he'd say, "Marion, God don't make no junk." There's actually a really good reading in Daily Reflections on my sobriety date, November 11th, and that's AA-approved literature. But that same person was, he was this man named B.R. Bradbury, and he has since gone to heaven, and we had a service position where we went back, I went to one treatment center, and once I got a year, he says, you got to come speak there with me every month. And we'd go week after week, and man, I just those first service positions where you just feel like, wow, I helped somebody. And BR would tell me, God don't make no junk. And every time I would go to a meeting and I would get to that place where I'm like beating myself up again, we'd read the play in Daily Reflections on November 11th. And I think I've brought some sponsees to that page. You know, it's talking about our basic life task is to love, I'm gonna botch it. But it talks about, you know, the big book, the Bible talks about love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. And those three phrases that go together, you know, I work at that relationship with God and loving others. And the place that I can get critical is usually towards myself. And that the way that it's just described in Daily Reflections, Courtney probably has it with her, our basic life task is to love, nurture, and take care of ourselves as well. You know, and as I go, as I've gone through my life, and as I've gone through this journey of Marian's stumblings through life, you know, I've had those areas of my life where I'll compare myself to somebody else, what somebody can do it better. You know, I might be a little bit better than this one, and I might be a lot less than this one. And you know, we all have this, and because of that, And I believe this in my life, to know people that it seems as if the struggles that we have in our life, the things that we grasp for the most, where I struggle, seems to be the place where God uses me the most to remind me that I'm okay. And still, even in that, it's like, that's reverse pride. Because guess what, guys? If I'm spending a bunch of time thinking about that I don't measure up, who am I thinking about? I'm thinking and still thinking about me, right? And quite honestly, I believe that God's designed this program and designed sponsees to help me keep out of me. And thank God for them. And thank God for the way they help save my life every single day. And so to just be really, so last week I spoke and I kind of went into Super Marian mode in my own mind, where I felt like I'm going to try to, what is it? Maybe be the supersized Marian, like if you're going to the McDonald's drive-thru window or something. I'm going to show up as super sober Marian, and I'm going to have this many quotes ready, and I'm going to pick out all these places in the big book. And how this works, guys, is that we have a disease that centers in our mind. And my sponsor's husband says that an alcoholic can never predict a good outcome. And so I have these critical voices. I spoke and I was like, oh my God, you're intellectualizing. And those voices in my head can get really, really loud, like all of us, okay, collectively. And actually, I think that is even bigger for outside of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I think mankind. I'm either thinking I'm all that and a slice of bread, or I'm thinking that I'm the biggest piece of poo that is, right? And some of those voices were critical so what that has to do with that journey is this place of being me and not comparing myself to anybody else and not being any better and not being any less. You know, I was thinking about, I was living up on this mountain and I always wanted a Jetta, and I got this Jetta. It was really cool. It was a 1996 GLX VR6. It was really hot, cool car, and I was going through some low spots in my life. Remember, I was telling you last week about my marriage, kind of whatever, and I always thought, when I have this, I'm going to be okay. When I had this beautiful house on the mountains, I had 20 acres overlooking the Canadian Rockies, and I get this new car, and the deal was, as I was dying inside, I was in a place of the bedevilments, I was a place of emotional, just bottomed out, and I remember getting that car and driving that car and how much I had put and invested in that new car in my heart, and I remember being so miserable, and it's like, that's not what this is about. And I can tell you that the big, big book again says, you know, seeking first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And from that place, in the dark places, the dark night of the soul, the dark places I went in my life, and this is my journey, when I had broke away from that marriage, and knowing that God had, I had lots of outside help. I had, I knew that God was releasing me from that. And I left with a suitcase, my guitar, just like a country singer. And, I left with a suitcase, my guitar, and my Jeep, and took off. And I was alone. Except for my girls in Alcoholics Anonymous and my home group in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I can't say except for, I'm going to tell you that they gave me everything I needed in that bottom and in that place. And where that took me to was sleeping on a woman's couch at 15 years sobriety. And I went to the Fred Meyer store in Bellingham, Washington, and I went in and I said to myself, well, I'm going to be sleeping on couches for a little bit. And I went into the store and I bought this bright orange silky blanket comforter set. And it was silky and it had flowers. And it was, you know, cotton on the inside and silky on the outside. Certainly nothing that you're going to have when you're married, okay? It's just not. You know, it was a girl blanket. And over and over and over and over again in these broken places of my life, you know, it's like we say in Alcoholics, I mean, I'm telling you some old time quotes, guys, and you take these and you take them to the next generation, man. But they told us that, you know, pain is a touchstone to spiritual growth. Every pain I have in my life, when I stay sober and when I keep my eyes on God, God will always use that situation to make me stronger, to make us stronger. And I might even say the semi-swear word tonight. In the words of my friend Jack Wright, Alcoholics Anonymous is not for candy donkeys. I didn't say this swear word. It's not. This journey is tough and it's hard. And in those broken places, God shows up for us. And I was sleeping on my friend's couch in Ferndale, Washington, and I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I was broken, and I had my orange blanket and my pillow inside that silky silky pillowcase, and I was okay because I had God. And when all is taken away and when all is said and done, guys, that's where life comes for us. And I don't want to be the girl who gets up here and talks and blows steam or whatever, and you see me, you know, on the corner flirting with a guy, drinking a monster drink and heading into, you know, whatever, a brothel or whatever. No, I don't want to be that girl. I want to be the girl that you can follow home, that you can follow to the cafe, that you can follow anywhere and say that She speaks this big book. She speaks of God. She worships that God with her whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I mean, begrudgingly, sometimes I do this work. Sometimes my phone does ring too much. And sometimes it hurts when it rings. And sometimes this is a life of constant surrender. Surrender after surrender that we do. Surrendering to this power. Surrendering to this work. Surrendering to this selfishness and self-centered behavior that we have. When it says in our big book that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of our problem, my God, please get me rid of me. So when those voices start this last week of how I don't measure up and how I'm not this person on the AA circuit and how I'm not this and how I'm not that, the only thing that can shut down that voice is this God. The only thing that comes between me and this being a bottle of vodka, which I never drank vodka, you know, but the only thing that shuts that down is this relationship with God, and to seek that with the desperation of a drowning woman. You know, and it didn't stop last week after I spoke last Thursday. You know, it's been a journey, and that's okay. In those broken places, I know that I know. Okay, God, we're going through a thing. This isn't just about a situation. There's something in here. There's something in here you're trying to do in me. So what do? I reach out to my sponsor. I talk to a partner that happens to be shoulder to shoulder. I pick up the phone and I work with another woman. I tend to like to listen to really good music that talks about God. I tend to like to pray the rosary because I'm a Catholic. I tend to like to worship. I have a ascension practice I use for meditation that I love and adore. And it tells me some phrases that are the truth. Because my mind says one thing: you're not enough, you're scared, you're afraid, you're stupid, you're never going to get it right. And then there's the voice of God. Like this one song says, the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the voice of truth says I'm not alone. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. See, guys, we get it all wrong. We come here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're here by great God's grace. We're here by God's mercy. I'm sorry. If you think you deserve this great life that you have today, which is above ground, sucking air, and getting to stay sober, I used to hear him say this too. If I got what I deserved, ouch. Ouch, you know, in some way. But when God sees me and God looks at me and God sees you and who you are, that when you wake up your eyes in the morning, there's probably a party going on in heaven going, yay, Brian's up and he didn't come too. Yes, you know. But guess what? Also, when there were the days when we struggled, he's like, okay, I hope she gets me today. I hope she hears me today. There might be a bunch of noise, but I'm still going to pursue. Because the same way that we seek God with the desperation of a drowning man or woman, I know that my God, our God, pursues us. In that same way, the same faith I have in God, God has that faith in me. So tonight, he said, he didn't say, but instead of me getting all wound up in my head, freaking out, I took a nap, which is crazy. But I don't know, and I'll probably even through this, I'll be you know, sick to my stomach and get up here and I'll say things wrong and I'll do all that. But guess what? Our big book says, you know, God does not Two hard terms for those who seek him. So guess what, guys? It's our journey. It's our way. There's only one you that's ever made, that ever will be made in all of mankind. there's marine biologists that are still, you know, like if we can ever fully understand God, good luck with that. It's a lifelong journey, right? There's still fish in the ocean. They don't even know their names yet. They don't even have names yet. Not that they don't know their name, but they're discovering more fish. And it's like, God, don't we have enough fish? You know? Or the extravagance of God, like, you know, that every snowflake that's ever fallen is different. I mean, really, come on, God. I mean, you got snow in Colorado and you got snow in Washington and you never make those the same. I mean, who does that, right? And that there's people that are twins and they can be identical twins, but then they're still not the same. It's like, God, you know, you could have made somebody exactly like the other guy, you know, but no, he doesn't do that. I mean, so we want to get here and we want to be agnostics and we want to be atheists and we want to do all this and we want to analyze this God that you're going to understand. Guess what? You know, I bet the Pope could stand here or Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or whatever, whoever, and I bet you they're not going to be able to fully describe and understand God. That this is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong process back to God, back to where we came from. And guess what? You're not going to do it perfect. And guess what? There's going to be really scary times, you know? This is... So through this process this week, had stuff going on with that deal and like, whoa, okay, you know, just really getting some outside encouragement and getting to a place of this, of the page in Daily Reflections of November 11th is some self-forgiveness. You know, that why do I got to be so hard on myself? Why do I have to be the judge and jury in my life that I'm not enough and boom. Over, said, and done. Well, guess what, guys? That's not my voice. That voice that says the different story from the different story is not the voice of God. It's the voice that wants to keep me trapped, keep me isolated, keep me alone, keep me curled up in a ball, keep me miserable, keep me separate from you. Separate from you first. Separate from all mankind. Separate from everybody. Because if it can get me separated from you, it can get me separated from God. And it can get me drunk, and it can get me dead. And it can happen like that. So this week was... Monday was the anniversary of my son's passing. And I will never minimize that. I will honor that. And I know for me that when I feel that in my heart, I honor that. That when we lose people we love, that when those feelings come up and we're sober, I honor that. That was a piece of my heart. And I realized through that process too that 3,000 miles away from my grown children, it adds to the ache a little bit. And so I realized next year, we're throwing a party in Florida in January 22nd next year, okay? In Florida, because they got to come here. I've already decided that. So you guys come into agreement with that with me, okay? Because they need to get out of Washington and be here, and we're going to turn January into a celebration. That I might be just directing a little bit, but I have decided that. I haven't told Peter that yet, but... little does he know he's going to be paying for it, but... Either that or we're all going to Disneyland. This is what was going through my head. So anyway, through Monday and through some stuff, well, I was just realizing that it was a deeper thing going on inside of me. There was some grief and some stuff. And so I'm busy. You know, yesterday was a really long day for me. It was still, it's like, why is this still lingering? Okay, God, all right, you know, and I went into a restaurant and I slipped and fell and I spent 4 hours at AT&T getting my phone upgraded, and I hate, I shouldn't say hate, that's a strong word. Technology is not my thing. And so I was there doing that, and so the day was a stumbling, but even in that place was like, okay, God, you know, sometimes, have you guys ever had this stuff in your relationship with God where it's like, this is an effort today, God. I'm pushing for you. I got you. I know you're with me, but I really kind of like to know you're there a little bit, kind of because I'm not feeling it. And it felt like everything I was touching was just, I was trudging, man. I was really, really trudging. And my phone's not updating, and I'm still at the stupid wonderful AT&T store, sorry. I'm still doing that. And you know, I just was like, I got to find some quiet from this noise. And I got out to my car and in the parking lot, and I got my rosaries out. And I was just like, okay, God. And I stumbled through it. You know, I did it. But sometimes, see, that's what our relationship with God looks like. Sometimes it's messy, and sometimes it's not, ta-ta-da, butterflies and rainbows, and, you know, everything just, you know, God parts the clouds, and, you know, the doves start flying out. It doesn't feel like that all the time. Sometimes it doesn't feel, you know, there was no, oh, yay, I'm better now. No, it was just like, it's like, I'm going to do this because God has made me to do this. I'm going to do this because this is what I know to do. And I'm going to just keep pressing in. I'm driving around. I'm waiting for my silly phone for 4 hours. And I just decided I was going to drive around. And it was like the girl at the store, I go, should I just go to the mall? And she's like, yeah, it's 2 miles down the road. And I was like, I don't even want to go to the mall. I don't want to do that. And so I'm just listening to music and I'm just speaking it out. You know, and it's like sometimes that's just the way it's got to be. I got to press in, I got to push in, and I've got to seek this thing. And sometimes I'm not going to see it. And sometimes I'm not going to feel it. And sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm not. But in that place, it's like, you guys, 100% of the time, and I can honestly tell you 100% of the time for absolutely everybody in this room, 100% of the time, it's worked. And do you know why it's worked? Because you're sitting here. Because we're sitting here. So 100% of the time, God has brought you through whatever situation was going to kick your butt, whatever was going to take you down, whatever was going to just lay you flat on your head. We're clean and sober. We're above ground. We're sucking air. And we're in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. How about the power of God in this room tonight? How about the power of God in this room tonight? And whether or not, you know, the old timers used to say stuff like that. You know, you don't have a God. Well, you can borrow mine. You can borrow mine. How cool is that? You know, borrow mine, you know, hang out with me, you know, see God working in my life. He's not this corny old dude with a big gray beard sitting up in heaven just waiting for you to just get the perfect robe on and your crown on straight. That's not God, you know. That's not God. I mean, I don't know what, he's probably going to, you know, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to heaven, he's going to have a crown on his face and his robe, and he's going to be mad at me for saying that. But, you know, what I do know in my life is like from that place of the kingdom of God and seeking that first, that the things that are added to me is from the girl who is rolled up in the orange blanket at Marlena's house with nothing, had God, and I was okay. I was okay. I had everything. And I would take being in that orange blanket at Marlena's house and having God and feeling like I had everything to driving my black Jetta that I thought was so freaking wonderful and was going to be so perfect to being miserable inside. To being miserable, you know? But guess what? I kind of like stuff too. I like to, you know, I bought a new shirt with daisies on it. You know, I like, you know, I like those things too. but they don't identify who I am. They don't, everything I am and will and ever will be comes from my heart. We're sent here to love. We're sent here to give. We're sent here to help heal another alcoholic, to reach out the hand of somebody. God didn't save you. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you some news. Maybe you don't know this, but God didn't save you from the pits of hell just so you can go walk around and get some cool stuff and go, wow, look at she's sober today. Isn't she something? No. He gave you him and he gave you life and he gave you all that so that you can reach out to another one of these silly little drunks that he likes to watch and help pull them out of the scrap heap, pull them up out of the darkness. Why? Because your language is the same language as them. You know, it's like we don't earn a degree in Alcoholics Anonymous to go save lives. You know, it's like we're not doctors. Well, some of us are doctors and some of us are firefighters and some of us are, you know, life-saving people. But no, how do we get to do this? We screw up our life big and long enough to go, okay, Abe's done it now. He's qualified. He's screwed up his life enough. So I think I'm going to pluck him out and he's going to be ready to do this deal, you know? So how cool is that? And that's the stuff not to be missed. That's the stuff not to be missed. To see that light go in somebody else's eye when it's like, you know, dude, I surrender. I give up. But this life, when I'm talking about the third step, I'm talking about God tonight, but I'm telling you, what is Alcoholics Anonymous? What is this journey of God with God? It's another surrender. The week I had from last week to here, it's another surrender. It's another, you know what? I'm just going to be me, and it's going to be messy, and sometimes it's going to feel really good when I get down from this podium. And sometimes I'm going to get down and think I busted and broke it and sucked like terrible. But you know what? I can't be attached to whether it's good, and I can't be attached to whether it's bad. I got to be attached to the fact, God, I came to you, and I said, you know, here, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. Because guess what? I get to be sober today and I get to be here. And I get to be of service to him. And I get to be service to his fellows. What a life. What a life we've been given. And so from the orange blanket, I got my apartment. And I was overlooking Bellingham Bay, the Puget Sound. And I got an air mattress. And I had this little fireplace in there, and I had my guitar. And it was like I was just given the keys of the kingdom. You know, and I'd been a worship leader in this church, and there was some stuff where they just, you know, my AAs came in, they swooped in, they gave me coffee, gave me money, gave me a place, gave me, because no, you know, that's what we do. And I'm not knocking that church. It was a beautiful reunion I had with them a year after that. It was beautiful. They were just doing what they did, and it was okay. And I love them, and I cherish them, and they're part of my heart today. So I got in that apartment, and I had my air mattress, and I had my guitar, and I played that guitar. And the first thing I did was sing to God and say thank you. So during the times that are super, 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 super hard, go to God. And the times that are super, 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 super amazing, go to God. And everything in between, go to God. All right. I have this marked. I'm going to read a little bit. When we sincerely took such a position, here's some promises of the third step, guys. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer being all powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans, Notice how he calls them our little plans. Our little plans. God's got bigger plans. Remember the fish, the snowflakes? Yeah, that stuff. He's got big plans. We're like, remember you cut out the little snowflakes at school? Oh, those were so fun. Our little plans, our little designs. More and more we became interested in seeing what we could do, what we could contribute to life. There's a statement. What we could contribute to life in one sentence. Not what can I take, who can I take, who can I take with me, and how much of it can I get? Can I just load it up? Can I make it happen? But no, what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence. I was working with the sponsee this last week, and this is like pretty cool. Becoming conscious of his presence. And her even speaking to me about, you know, I really feel like he's with me. It's like, yeah, yeah. We began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. Then it goes on to say, step three. Many of us said to our maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. The bondage of self. What is bondage? I mean, bondage. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. So what that's doing is it's setting us up to have this power. You know, that my life is no longer none of my business. It's like, okay, what is it doing? It's giving me power. And our book talks about faith without works is dead. What it does is it's launching us and getting us ready to go into step four and to do that personal inventory. And we need a whole lot of God going into that. Faith without works is dead. Okay, I got this, God. I'm giving my life to God. But now we're going to launch into personal inventory. I have this card here, and I wanted to read this tonight. This was, I did make a couple little plans. I was hoping I'd get to it. I got the honor and privilege to go to a place called Stepping Stones last year, and it was the home of Bill and Lois Wilson for 17 years. I don't know that Bill lived there 17, but I know Lois did. And man, it was a really incredible thing to see. And you know what I liked the most is like a couple little things was upstairs in Bill and Lois's bedroom. Like, they've just kept it like a museum. They've kept it. It's just, you know, it's kind of dusty, and it's kind of, you know, it's not like all in cases and, you know, things like that. But there's this little bench seat in Bill and Lois's bedroom, and you look down on this cushion, and I tapped the girl I was with. I go, look, there's coffee stain right there. You know, I was like, that's Bill's coffee. How cool is that? But this is, I'm going to read this. This is, Bill wrote this prayer, and him and Lois would pray it in the morning. And when you go up into Bill and Lois Wilson's bedroom, this prayer is laying on their bed, and I wanted to buy it. But I'm going to read Bill's morning prayer, if you don't mind. So, Lord, we thank thee that thou art, that we are, from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be thy holy name and all the benefactions to us of light, of love, and of service. May we find and do thy will and good strength and good cheer today. May thy ever-present grace be discovered by family and friends, those here and those beyond, by our societies throughout the world, by men and women everywhere, and among those who must lead in these troubled times. In these troubled times back then. So Lois typed this. There's like errors on it. There's actually, you know, they copied it. And there's a little coffee stain in the corner here. It's kind of cool. So Lord, we know thee to be all wonder, all beauty, all glory, all power, all love. Indeed, thou art everlasting love. According to thou, has fashioned for us a destiny, passing through thy many mansions, ever in more discovery of thee, and in separation between ourselves, and in no separation between ourselves. For all these great wonders, benefactions, she even spelled it wrong, benefactions and assurances, we now raise hearts and minds to thee, O Father of lights. He always said Father of lights, right? We are filled with gratitude that shall be timeless. We are filled with gratitude that shall be timeless. So I hope you heard a little bit of gratitude tonight for my relationship with God. And seek him and you'll find him. And if you don't have a God, come to me. You can borrow mine. Welcome, I love you.
That was awesome. Can we thank her one more time, please? And now we have Chris with the Secretary's Report.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with our seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I'm going to ask Abe to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, I'm Abe. I'm a recovered alcoholic. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you. 1940s style, big book sponsorship from Ford to the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses. And among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Could I please have a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Awesome. And anyone in need of a sponsor, could you please raise your hand? All right, guys, awesome. Can you stand up, please? Guys and girls? Awesome. All right, let's meet these folks up front here after the meeting and get these folks back to God. Last meeting of the month, anyone celebrating a year or more, please stand. Anyone celebrating a year or more this month? Okay. Heather, congratulations again. Please join us Monday nights, Big Book Study Meeting, where the Big Book comes alive. Fellowship is at 6:30, and the Big Book Study starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, the Little Red Book, and Big Book Dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday, starting promptly at 7:15 p.m., and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Now, I have some announcements here. There's some flyers in the back for any of these. 62nd Florida State Convention, Waves of Serenity. This is, there are various dates for this. We have February 17th, March 17th, April 21st. Come and help us put on another successful Florida State Convention at the beautiful Harbor Beach Marriott Resort and Spa. So you can check this out. Also, AA's Got Talent. The tickets are on sale, $12. This is Saturday, February 3rd at 6 p.m. in the Coral Springs Charter School. in Coral Springs. We have flyers in the back, and let's see, is Robert here? No. Okay, but the flyers are in the back nonetheless, if you'd like to get your tickets there. And third annual Chapters to Recovery in Miami, June 29th to July 1st. There's a lot of speakers, a lot of great stuff going on there, so check out our flyer in the back for more information. Also, quick reminder, 75-foot no smoking, no vaping zone in front of the doors, so when you leave, please don't light up. We have Boy Scouts that meet at the church, so we want to be considerate of them. That was all that I had. Thanks. See you next week.
Thank you. I would like to announce that we have tonight's session and all the past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. If you missed the first couple weeks, go back, give it a listen. It's been an awesome journey so far, and we have all the speakers we've had in the past on there as well. I'd also like to invite everybody to our Monday night big book study in this same church up on the third floor Monday nights. Fellowship starts at 6:30 p.m., and the meeting itself is at 7:15, so stop by and check us out. And if anybody would like to thank tonight's speaker, we just ask you to line up down the center aisle. Let's take a moment of silence and close with the Lord's Prayer. Who can bring us from shame to grace? See you next week. Godspeed. Can't get it right. It doesn't matter.
it here right now. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. On my own, I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man.
Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby, and I hope.
this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Let it shine.